taping this morning has to do with the early settlers coming into West Golmory. I'm going to try this to see if we can speed up the process a little bit. In an account in the Ontario Historical Society, mentions about the Selkirks, mentions that they had that they were happy and contented, and the ownership of a farm appealed strongly to them. They were fond of good horses and livestock. When the rebellion came in 1837, they marched as a body to the tune of the bagpipes to Hogs Hollow in defense of their homes and country. Not many of their descendants are on these farms at the present time. Speaking about the stones and the Howards and the Wests, these folks were United Empire Loyalists who came from Pennsylvania. They were of English origin and settled in the south part of the township, we know that. They established a church called the Christian Church. The most prominent families were the Stones, the Howards, and the Wests. They were good farmers. In politics, they were liberal. They gave their children Old Testament names, Solomon, Benjamin, David, Abijah. They lived well, made the best maple syrup, sugar and syrup, cheese and butter, and were experts at curing meat. A little bit further north, up into the up and towards the Fisher's Corners, was an Irish Palatine group, came about 1831 from the county of Limerick. And it says they came originally from the Netherlands with William of Orange. This group included the families of Robert and Thomas Parker, John Lang, Andrew Herrican, H-E-R-R-I-C-A-N, Robert Atkins, and George Sparling. There is mention in this story also of an Irish Catholic settlement around Colson's Hill and a chapel on a farm of a man named Megan. Now that'll be the one that's on the west of the Colson's Hill, on about lot seven or something like this, in concession 9. Yeah, we'll have to look that one up to get the details. Well, let's go back down south again to the sixth line. We left off there. The fifth concession, we see John D. Robinson with lots 6 and lot 74. And whether he's connected, we'll have to find out whether he's connected to the Robinsons who were out on highway on the Penetang Road. Going along the sixth line, on the north half of lot 8, we find Andrew Macbeth. And he was there, and this eventually became lot 9 in concession 5 was owned by the Rogers family, originally by John Rogers, and then later by Alan, and then by another John, and then an Amos. They lived on this farm for from the 18 original. They were the original settlers, and then they were there until the 1900, when they sold that, so they were there for quite a while. Selkirk's on lot 10. Lot 11, concession 5 on the south half was John. Lot 11, concession 5, where Murray Ferris is, originally came there, and John Ferris came there in 1857. The patent was 1854, and the north half was John Bannerman. And then at the end of the sixth line, we come to the Wallaces, and we'll look after that one as it works out. Switching back up to the seventh line, which is Highway 88, the one that's most easterly there is Doucette, and the Doucettes came in there. They were in there before the railway, definitely in there before the railway, and came in and took up their land there. And then we're into Bradford, which we'll be dealt with as we go along. the early people who were there will be looked after in the history of that. Just the lot to the east of Bradford, rather to the west of Bradford, is lot 14, as John Goodfellow came in there in 1839, and he was part and parcel of that one. And James Wallace was on the south half of 14 in Session 6, which later became an Armstrong farm, and then Nishaw farm. The old Stong farm was originally an Armstrong farm, and then it became a Stoddard farm in about 1850. Across the road was the farm that Algio bought. I took over in 1832. It was only a little while, then he sold it, passed it on to the William Wardman family there for a considerable length of time. Lot 13, the one before that, was also an Algio farm, and he only had it for a short length of time, then he sold it to Hugh and Alex Scobie. And we talked about it a little bit. There's quite a bit to talk about Scobie and his problem. His opinion on the seventh line is the community of Middletown, and so the first section on it. Across the road was the property that was owned by Colonel Kirwich. And Kirwich, his father Septimus, came there, not as the original owner, but as the second owner, taking the ground. So Kirwich came in 1866. And they were there until 1900s. Going west on there, lot 10. Lot 9 and Lot 10 are James Stoddard's farm. There's a James Stoddard farm in the 1830s. And the north half of 10 and Concession 6 across the road from that, you know, these are Armstrong farms. North half of 8 on the south side of the 7th line was James Goodfellow. Came in there in 1824. And across the road from that we find the Rogers family, who were there for quite a length of time on the south half of 8 on the north side of the 7th line. Lot 5, Concession 6, is settled by William Armson, and it was in that family, in the Armson family, for until the 1880s. Armson has quite a career. Then we come into Bond Head, and so that's been looked after when writing the history of Bond Head. North of town, we've gone up there to come back to Fisher's Corners. Going east from Fisher's Corners, we'll come to the corner of the 9th line and the 10 side road. This part of the world also, there will be the Palatines. They were in this one here on the Concession 7, Concession 8. Robert Parker was in the north half of 10, Concession 8. Thomas Parker was in the south half of 10, Concession 8. Atkins was on the north half of 11, Concession 8. Nay was on the south half of 10, Concession 8. Harrican was on the north half of 6, Concession 9. Long was in the south half of 5, Concession 9. Atkins was on the south half of 4, Concession 8. Robert Atkins was on the south half of 5, Concession 8. So they were there. They're well represented there in that. Lawrence McGann is shown as the owner on 1825 of the north half of Lot 12, Concession 8. And John McGann became the owner of Lot 12, Concession 9. In 1836, and it is here that there was a small Catholic church and the Catholic cemetery was established in about 1837, when the part of that lot was severed off from the Catholic cemetery and ultimately the church. Lot 11 of Concession 9 was bought by George, settled by George Bowles and the early 1830s, and this has been in the Bowles family for the length of all our period of our history. Settled by Bowles, then by Henry, then by George H., and then ultimately by Earl. Lot 12 concession 9 was shared there also with John Evans, who came in the 1820s. He purchased the east half of Lot 12 concession 9, south half of 14 on concession 9 on the ninth line. It was owned by William Evans in the 1830s. The south half of 14 was one. South half of 14. Yeah. Back tracking a little bit, going along the eighth line. There isn't much from 10 side road. That's as far as settlement is concerned until we get to up on top of the hill, and we find the belfry place. And it was beset. Ira Belfry came in there. They were spin off from the. Understand, and there, along with Ira, and there's a Prince Belfry as well. He was on the other side of the highway. They are, must have been in the 1820s, and of course then on that corner of the eighth line, and right on the corner where it became the Lee place were the Robinsons, and they have there from the 1830s on. Lot 16 was one of Lounce's places, but it was became. It was soon became owned by, originally in the 1820s, by James and Prince Belfry. And a little bit further out there on that same line is John Sloan, who bought Lot 17, right out, almost running right the swamp there. And there that farm was in the family for the length of time that our history's been in place. Across the road, they bought the south. The Sloans also bought the south half of Lot 18, and that was in their family was in the Sloan family until 1919. Going back up to the ninth line now. I'm sorry, that was the ninth line. Okay, so we're going back up now to the tenth. Start in about Scanlon Creek is the route. We're down there with where we are. We mentioned there at the end the William James Sloan had the south half of Lot 18 on the north side of the on the north side. That'll be on the north side of concession 9. On the north side of concession 8. It's on the south half of 18 concession 9. The north half of that is part of the Scanlon, going to Scanlon Creek. And Scanlon would own pretty well everything on the north side of Lot 16, concession 9. Here I'm showing Mark Scanlon. So that's everything from through to Mount Pleasant on the north side. It's pretty much owned by Mark Scanlon. He also owned the south half of 17 across the road. And then when we went out to Lot 16, that was owned by his friend and buddy Thorpe. And the two of them were in business together there for a period of time. Across the road, we have on Lot 14, concession 10, we have 1820s, we have George Evans. And it went to. He bought all 200 acres, and then in 1830 he sold the west half, 100 acres, to his son, to James Evans. And then in 1858 that came back again to George Evans. And then in 1860 to Robert Wood, who bought 33 acres. On the south side of the 10th line, lot 14, that's the north half of 14, concession 9, we find a farm that wasn't originally owned, but became owned by James Evans and then Thomas and then Zachariah Evans. This was across the road from the George James and George and James and George Evans farm. The northeast one quarter of lot 13, concession 10, is the property that was owned by the Malloys, the Timothy, Charles, and then later Garrett, and finally Timothy, These are the people who came in and started up the tavern in the town of Bradford. The south half of 11 on concession 10. That's on the north side of the 10th line. Is another one of George Wolves' farms. It's across the road from the other farm, the original farm that he bought on the south side of the farm on the north west corner here of the 10th and 10th side road. That's the lot 10, concession 10, was bought by James Evans and then later owned by Thomas M. Evans. This later became one of the Bowles farms as well, owned by George. South half of lot 7, concession 10, is owned by, originally settled on by Alexander Kerr, and then the property was in the Kerr family until the 1880s. As we get out towards Newton Robinson there on the 10th line, you see the Wardmans have a fair bit of property, two or three lots in there. And John Coburn in the north half of lot 1, concession 10. North half of lot 1, concession 10, now we're up on the right. South half is somewhere. And now we're starting back on the 11th line, and as we mentioned, John Coburn has the north half of lot 1, concession 10. On the north half of lot 2 is originally found the Bells, who arrived on the scene. John Bell, followed by Richard Bell. And across the road from that is James Lee. And they were there on this part of the world until about 1900. They're right next to the Lees also owned the next property. That was their first property that they bought, was the south half of lot 3. And this is John Lee, not James Lee. This is John Lee. He bought that game there in 1846. So maybe the John was next door, was his son of him. So 1840s, we see John Lee on the south half of lot 3 on the 10th line. North half of lot 6 there, that would be on the 10th line, shows Matthew Pinkerton, came in about in the 1830s. North half of 9, concession 10, that'll be on the south side of the 10th line. We have a William Stevenson who came on the scene in the 1830s. Lot 9, on the south side of the lot 9, all in the lot 9, we have the Wardman family again. The Molloys are in here on the south side of concession 10, lot 13. Timothy, Charles, Garrett, Timothy. And on the south side of concession of the 11th line will be Michael Moriarty. That should be down on the 10th line, is Michael Moriarty. South half of lot 13. But he only owned it for a few days. That's not good. Oh, I see. Moriarty sold parts of it. So yeah, that's right. He did own Michael Moriarty. South half of lot 13, concession 10. Lot 15, concession 10. Originally came to Robert Wood. In the 1850s. Herbert Wood, just across the road from Colson's Hill. On the north side there, the south half of 15 on concession 11. On line 11 is John Colson, came in the 1840s. South half. The church is now off. The lot 16 on the south side of the 11th line, east of, across the street from that is the property of south half of lot 18, across the road from Fennel, was originally to Michael Moore, but in 1849, picked up by William Roberts, the 1840s. Roberts family was there in their hands ever since. Roberts had been in the north half of that lot since 1830, originally took it out, John Roberts, and then they moved to William Roberts, son, in down south. Lot 21, north half of Lot 21, which will be up on the 12th line. We see John Gibbons, and on the south half of that lot, Lot 21, is John O'Donnell. So we have here. We're going to go back out to, this will be the 12th line, and we're starting in there, so we're looking at the south half of concession 12 and the north half of concession 11. There's a James Wilson here, and this is where Wilson Hill Cemetery is. I think we have something on James Wilson, I'm not too sure. But that's what's on that corner. Nothing here that's worth the south half of this lot, on a small lot, half an acre. We have Isaac Merrick in 1845. The Merrick family had quite a bit to do with the settlement. North half of Lot 4 of Concession 11, should be on the south side of the 12th. We have John Kerr, who came in here in the 1830s. And on the north half of Lot 4, north and south half of 4, north and south half of 4 is, the leaves are involved here again, so they were on the 11th and on the 12th. All through that Lot 3, Lot 4. South half of Lot 8, Concession 12, in the 1860s, we see Nathan Jackson. Family were in here for quite a while, keeping the calls, I guess. There's also a John DeSette in here as well. He had a piece of land that Jackson had for a period of time before that. Is this the cousin of the family who lived in Bradford? And the wardens here involved with Lot 9, Concession 11. And the northwest corner of Lot West, south half of Lot 10, Concession 12. Pretty valuable piece of property there. Anyway, it was the Keeney family. And they also were involved across the road with the north half of, across there with a piece of property across the road. They were also involved with it back in the States. South half of 14, Concession 12. On the 12th, on the east side of number 11, on the southeast corner, is the farm of John Wood. They're settled here. And that farm was in that family when we were doing art history. John Wood family. Across the road from that was the farm, was the property of, just a second, it was a farm that was taken up by William Hambly in 1843. And that was, that farm became a north half 17, on concession 12, that's on the north side, on the south side. This was originally a Neely farm on the south side. And they were there from 1844 to Lot 19, concession 12, the whole 200 acres is. Thomas Cronin, but he owned very well. It's eventually Lot 19, the south half of Lot 19 of Concession 12, eventually became the Gibbons farm in 1883. North half of Lot 21, Concession 11, this became the John Gibbons farm in 1860s.
So was John O'Donnell, and you mentioned this before.
Yeah. Starting off to on the 13th line, and we'd be going from east to west, commencing at about lot 22. The John Gibbons has the all of lot 21, concession 13. The south half of lot 20 and concession 13 goes to up by the James Bell in the 1840s. Across the road from that is the north half of lot 20 and concession 12 is picked up in the 1840s by Andrew Neely. I don't know too much about Andrew. And on the south half of lot 18, concessor is John O'Donnell. And this was here in the O'Donnell family up until 1954. It's when Joe Cronin bought it. The north half of 17 on the south side of the 13th line is Robert Duck. And the Ducks had it till 1900. And across the road is James Bell Jr. South half of 17, concession 13. North half of 16, which is up beside the highway, is just property that was owned by James Tyndall, who was involved with the Wesleyan Methodist Church. Lot 16 on the south side, in 13, that's on the north side of the 13th, on that corner is William Fagan, F-I-E-G-H-E-N. And they show up in the family histories. Lot 15, concession 12 in the north half of it. That'll be on the southwest corner of the 12th is Edward Cronin. And across the road on the north west's corner is our friend Robert Duck, the Duck family. North half of 14, the second farm in from the highway on the south side of the 13th is William Hambley in the 1840s. On the south side, on the north side of the 13th at lot 13 is John Garbutt. The Garbutts were there for quite a period of time. And the Garbutts also owned the piece across the farm across the road as well. lot 12, concession 13, so we have our friend Robert Duck again, involved here for a number of years. And Robert on the south side of the 13th, Robert Garbutt owns both northwest of 10 and the north half of 11. And on the north side of the 13th in lot number 9 is William Dales. And that was in the family till 1940s. Next door in lot 8 is Samuel Neely. And they were there until 1940. Maybe they may be related to the Dales, I don't know. But anyway, they were there for considerable length of time. In the midst of the hollows there, on the north half of lot 9, is John Hill. This is in the Hill family for quite a period of time. Lot 5, concession 13, we get introduced to the John Nay family. They owned the east half of this and came there in 1860. On the west half was Thomas Nay. The original on the east half was John Nay, and then the southern one was Thomas Nay. South half of lot 2 in concession 13, we're introduced to the Kidd family, Daniel Kidd. South half, south one quarter of lot 1 in the 1840s, we're introduced to Ransom Draper. And the Drapers was on this farm right through to Purdue history from 1848. Lot 1, concession 13, is introduced in there to
Thomas Jebb in the 18th, and then in about 1840. Going back to the lot 5 on the south side of the 13th, at we have John Crawford, his property in 1862, and the Lees owned up in here to the Lees in lot 4. Starting now on the 14th line out at Highway 27 and going from west to east. So the north half of Lot 1, Thomas, Samuel Davidson. The south side of the 14th, Lot 2, we have James Drennan. They were there from 1860s to the 1900s, 1904 to be exact. Lot 5 on concession 14, we have Robert Parker Ross. Not the original guy, Charles Banning, to Benjamin Banning, and then 1870 Ross, and the Rosses are involved here quite a while. John Jebb's involved with the west half of Lot 5, concession 13, and the east half is the Ney family, John Ney and then Matthew. North half of 10, concession 13, 1830, is John Colson. There's Lot 10, concession 14, of the O'Connells, Darby O'Connell, and then John O'Connell. Going back a sec, on the south side of the 14th, Lot 11 is Nathan Jackson. And the Ducks were on Lot 12. Was on Lot 14. Going across the 14th line from east to west from Lots 11 to 15. From the south side, Lot 11. The Nathan Jackson, 1839. Next door, on the south side, Lot 12, is Robert Duck, 1833. Across the road, 18. There are a couple of owners there, Foster and then Blair, but then there's 1852 is William James Sturgeon. And he's also involved in Lot 13. We'll get into that in a minute. Okay, on the south side, Lot 13. Is Robert Neshaw in 1855. There were a couple of owners before that, William Malloy and then William Blair. Blair had it from 1830 to 1850, but then it was Robert Neshaw. That was the beginning, so that Neshaw could be there. And then on the Lot 14, there's a William Mitchell. He's in there, 1835. And across the road from that, on Lot 12, the south half of Lot 12, 14 is 1852, is William James Sturgeon. Lot 13 is 1820 is Lount, 1828 is Wells, 1840 is Mackle, 1844 is Wildridge McDowell, and Robert Sturgeon. They owned the south. They owned parts of between them owned the south half. And lot number 14, south half of concession 14 is 1837, is Robert Sutherland. And then going up the highway there, Lot, the south half of Lot 15 in 1839 is Robert Neshaw. Going along on the south side of that, Lot 14, we have William Mitchell, and in Lot 15, we have William Doan, who owns the northeast one quarter, and then we have Wildridge McDowell, who owns the northwest one quarter. That we've been Wildridge McDowell is involved with the disturbance. Across the highway, across the Penetang Road on the southeast corner, that's the south half of Lot 14, we have the Joseph Wood Farm about 1840. There have been a couple before that, a William Murphy and a William Osborne, but then the Wood are the next ones who seem to stay for a while. On that lot one across the road, there's our friend William Fagan, F-I-E-G-H-E-N. He owned all 200 acres of that for a period of time. Lot 17 is Lawrence McGann. As is Lot 18, Lawrence McGann. M-C capital G-A-N-N. And the north half 19 is we're into a dog's breakfast. Going back to the north side of the road, south half of 17 is George Doolittle comes in there. And then we have 18 Sampson West comes in there in 1845. The Sampson West, he was there to and then on number 19 we have Richard O'Donnell. Let's see, up. I'm sorry, that's the north half. I'm sorry, I'm looking for the south half. In the south half of the lot is pretty much owned by, for settlement purposes, owned by Sampson West. On the south side of 14, in Lot 20, is Martin Doan, the Doan family. David McBride was originally, but then he came from the Dillons, and they stayed for quite a while. On the north side, on the south side of the road, across there, it was the Nesbitts, John Nesbitt. That farm until 1926. South half of Lot 21, or called Lot 21, I guess it is. It was to Thomas, 1850s, as well as to Thomas McCarthy. And in the south half of Lot 22, volunteer membership there, except it becomes Lot 21 concession, part of the south half. This lot is mixed up with the Gibbons family. They're involved in it all the way through here. Okay, now we're going to do concession 15, which is lot line 15, which is the Pocahontas on the south side. Lot 1, we have James 1839, we have James Kidd. And in Lot 2, we have James Kidd again. Kids, they came here, they weren't the original owners, but they were there quite shortly after. Lot 3 is Mary Ross, 1874, so she's a little bit of a newcomer. And 1838, we have the Cantrell family, C-A-N-T-R-E-L-L-R-I-L-L, 1838 to 1860. On the north side there in 18, there's all 36 acres, the original. Lot 2, we're talking for Lot 1 because that's in Cookstown. Lot 2 is John Ross. Lot 3 is Dean Hiller. Lot 4 is see, we got a new one here. Abandoned crops. Lot 5, we have the Robert Parker Ross. Let's see if it goes back to the Ross factory someplace, doesn't it? Yeah, there's a Ross here for Lot 3. So this could be the same family. We have a north half of Lot 8, and the north half of Lot 7 are owned by an Isaac B. Rogers, who then in turn passed them on to, in one case, to an Ephraim Rogers, and another case, in the case of 7, in the case of 8, to William Rogers. And both of those, the latter two people, they disposed of them almost right away. So. They weren't too interested in the property. In the north half of 9, we have a Timothy Rogers who had the north half of 9. Remember, this is all in the swamp, so don't get too excited about it. North half of Lot 10. And we have the. So we're continuing here on the 15th. We've crossed the highway now, and we're on the southeast corner of Penetang Road and Highway 11, what we would call the Herbie Hughes Farm.